are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, friends, if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to turn to Psalm 16. We are continuing with our theme for 2019, 52 weeks of joy. This morning we're looking at Psalm 16. The message is entitled, Joy in His Presence. Let's pray before we read the Word. God, thank you for this time in your Word. We ask now for the help of the Holy Spirit to hear your voice as your Word is read and proclaimed. Thank you, God. May your joy be our strength. May you be present with us in this place and fill us with your joy through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 16, hear now the word of God. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, nor take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Even though it happened years ago, I remember it like it happened yesterday. I'm talking about my second, not my first, but my second date with Han. You know those scenes in the movies in which boy meets girl and there's music in the background? And the wind blows her hair ever so perfectly. And the sun shines on her at the right time, creating a kind of halo. Well, it was like that. Like, no kidding, it was like that. I made it to the restaurant early and was waiting for her to arrive. This particular restaurant has a glass wall that allows you to see people as they walk up the sidewalk to enter the restaurant. She turned the corner wearing a red and white silk blouse with red and white polka dots. I'm telling you, I remember it like it was yesterday. As she turned the corner, the wind, I'm not kidding you, the wind began to blow and it blew her hair ever so perfectly. And a ray of sunlight came down to put a spotlight on her. And as she came toward the door of the restaurant, I kid you not, as she came toward the door of the restaurant, her legs did not move. She seemed to float about 2 inches off of the ground. And as she floated into the restaurant, I heard singing. That's exactly how it happened. So, we had dinner and then saw a movie. And after the movie ended, I did not want to leave her presence. So I came up with the idea that we should go get some dessert. We didn't have dessert at dinner, so we should go get some dessert. The problem was that it was the middle of the week, it was getting late, and places were starting to close. However, there was this greasy spoon late night diner nearby. So we went there, a place I would never go. We went there and we sat there for hours. We were there in this not so nice diner, drinking terrible coffee and eating stale pie that was worse than the coffee. But you know what? It didn't matter. It didn't matter because I was with her. It didn't matter, even though there were some things in our circumstances that were not pleasant. That restaurant, believe me, was not pleasant. I didn't even want to sit on the chair. Even though there were some things that were not pleasant, it didn't matter because I was simply enjoying her presence. Now, if you can understand that, then you can understand Psalm 16. In your, that is God, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Psalm 16 is good news for anyone going through a hard time in life. Psalm 16 is good news for anyone who needs some joy. Psalm 16 says loud and clear, the joy you need, the joy you crave, the joy that will see you through the storm, the joy that will fortify your soul against the work of the devil, the joy that will enable you to walk with your head up and a smile on your face while you're going through hardship and trial, that joy is in the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is precious. It is powerful. It is pleasurable. The presence of the Lord charges the atmosphere with hope and joy. The presence of the Lord infuses your innermost self with gladness. The presence of the Lord, well, in His presence, there is an elation. There is an exhilaration that is many times, that is infinitely times better than even a mind-blowing second date with a girl you just want to be around. Psalm 16. Psalm 16 was written by David, that great king of Israel in the Old Testament. David wrote this psalm during a time of great difficulty and distress in his life. Now notice that both Psalm 16, this psalm today, and the scripture from last week, right? From Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Notice that this week the text, last week the text, they were both written during times of hardship. So if you come here this morning and you're going through something hard right now, just know that you are ripe. You are ripe for a time of refreshing joy. David had been anointed by a prophet as the next king of Israel. Saul was still on the throne, but his kingship had been rejected by God. As David began to rise, Saul became more and more jealous of David. He became jealous to the point where he decided that he just needed to kill David. And David was his son-in-law. Instead of being happy that his son-in-law had been the one to defeat the giant Goliath, instead of being happy that his son-in-law was winning battles for Israel, Saul decided that he just needed to kill David. So David had to run for his life, hiding in the wilderness, hiding in caves. That's the kind of trial David was going through when he wrote Psalm 16. So if you come here this morning going through a hard time, listen to the benefits of seeking and being in the presence of the Lord that David gives in this psalm. David tells us, first, in the presence of the Lord, there is safety. There's safety. Verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. Friends, when you feel embattled by life, when you feel embattled by spiritual forces of evil, when you feel embattled by people who just don't like you, God's presence is a place of safety. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus, speaking of those who trust in him, said, no one can snatch them out of my hand. You can trust God to keep you, to hold you, to preserve you in and through a season of hardship. Second, David tells us in the psalm, in the presence of the Lord, there is God's goodness. God's goodness. Verse 2. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Friends, God is good. All right, one of these days we're going to get all the time. God is good. And all the time. All right, very good. It makes sense that as you seek him, as you draw closer to his presence, you will experience his goodness. Verse 3, David says that those who run after other gods, that they only multiply their sorrows. Why? Because they are moving away from the Lord who is the source of good. You can trust God in spite of your sin, in spite of all that you've done to disappoint him. You can trust God to be good to you. So David says, go into his presence. Draw near to him. Third, David tells us in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, you get not only God's goodness, but you get God himself. Verse 5, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. The Lord is my portion and my cup. The Lord is my portion and my cup. David has joy because he has God. Sometimes we want God's gifts, but not God himself. Sometimes we want a so that God. That is, we want God so that he will do this thing for us. We want God so that he will do that thing for us. We want a so that God. But God himself is your greatest treasure, your highest joy, your most intense pleasure. Listen, heaven is heaven, not because of some location. Heaven is heaven because God is there. And if you have God, you have everything. Fourth, in the presence of the Lord, there is counsel. There's counsel. Verse 8, David says, I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. God speaks to you. God speaks to you. He counsels you. When you don't know what to do, draw near to him to hear his voice. When you've got decisions you need to make and you don't know what to do, don't be like a squirrel in the middle of the road, unsure which way to go, left, then right, then left, and then get hit by the car. Go to God. Draw near to his presence. The Lord is the wonderful counselor. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. You don't have to figure everything out. Sometimes we don't step into faithfulness. We don't do the thing God is calling us to do because we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure out God's whole plan from A to Z. And if we'll just draw near to his presence, God will say, just take this step. I'll give you the next step when it's just take this step. David says, draw near to God because in his presence, there's counsel. He'll tell you what to do. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Fifth, in the presence of the Lord, there's confidence. There's confidence. Verse 8, David writes, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Even though David was going through terrible hardship, because he knew the nearness of God, he was confident. He was not shaken, as the text says. One of the attacks that the devil will bring into your life is to get you bound up in fear. Instead of walking by faith, the enemy of your soul tries to get you to live in fear. But in the presence of the Lord, you are reminded, yes, God is bigger than this thing I'm going through. God's got me. God's got this situation. In the presence of God, you are reminded that the Lord is the God who simply spoke and created the world. That the Lord is the God who parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego safe in a fiery furnace, that he brought Daniel out of the lion's den. This is the God who healed the sick, cast out 1,000 demons out of a man, fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Yes, God can handle this. God can handle this thing that you are going through. God can handle, it's too hard for you, but God's got this. God can handle this so you can have confidence because God is bigger. There are many congregations that are in transition. They're so anxious, they're so fearful that they're going to make a wrong step that they don't take a step. Listen, God's got to write a church. God's got us. God, in all of our imperfections, all the things that we have to do, if it were on us, it would be too much. But God's bigger. God's got this, and God has us. I'm reminded that tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and I'm reminded of the confidence it takes, that the inner spiritual confidence in God that it takes to be nonviolent in the face of people who just want to kill you, right? To be nonviolent, sitting at a lunch counter with people pouring mustard and ketchup on you, yelling in your ear. You've got to have a kind of confidence that says, you know, God is bigger than this. God's got this. God's got me. God is going to fix this. You only get that from being in the presence of the Lord. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, faith tells me that no matter what lies ahead of me, God is already there. God's got this. Sixth, in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, there is the ultimate hope. There's the ultimate hope in the presence of the Lord. Verse 10 says, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You're not just going to leave me in the grave. You're not going to abandon me to death. In the presence of the Lord, David is reminded that not even death can derail the plan and purposes of God. And verse 10, this verse from Psalm 16 is quoted twice in the New Testament, once by Peter and once by Paul. And both Peter and Paul use it to point to the hope we have in Jesus. That Jesus, God in the flesh, died on a cross to take the punishment for our sins and rose from the grave for our eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live." In Jesus, you have victory over death. You have the ultimate hope. And David, in the midst of his running for his life from Saul, in the midst of probably the most difficult thing he's gone through in life, he just gets into the presence of God and he receives all of these benefits and it just fills him with joy. Not only joy, but pleasure. He has pleasure in God even as he's running for his life. Now, you may be asking this morning, well, aren't we always in the presence of God? What? How can you say you got to seek God's presence? You got to get in God's presence, and in God's presence you get certain. Aren't we always in God's presence? Yes, of course. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. But God can be more here than here. God is everywhere, but God can manifest himself. He can manifest his glory over here, but maybe not over here. Over here, but maybe not here. God is everywhere, but God can show up. He can manifest his presence in a way that makes you sit up and take notice. God is in the room. And so that's why the Bible tells us to seek him. The Bible tells us to draw near to him. Right? It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The Bible tells us to intentionally, on purpose, seek God's presence. Almost like a man on a second date looking for a way to stay in the presence of a girl that he likes. The Bible says you have to determine purpose in your heart and mind that you're gonna seek God's presence. You're gonna spend time with God. Now how does that happen? How do you do that? I'm gonna give you one thing today. And that is praise. Praise. Verse 7. David says, "I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord." To bless, biblically speaking, means to speak well of or to praise. It is praise that brings you into the presence of God. The Bible says this, that God inhabits the praise of his people, that he dwells in the praise of his people. One translation says that God is enthroned on the praise of his people. So that when we gather and we praise him, our praises create a throne for the king to come and to sit in our midst. He inhabits, he dwells, he's enthroned in the praise of his people. That's why worship begins with songs of praise. We're seeking God's presence. We're not simply going through an order of service. We're saying, God, we want to be with you. We want the joy of your presence. That's why the Lord's Prayer begins with adoration. Father, you're in heaven. Father, your name is holy. One of the most helpful things in my own walk with the Lord, in my own spiritual growth, has been to learn how to praise him, to at any moment of the day, any kind of service, no matter where I am, just to stop and bless God. God, you are great, you are wonderful, you are mighty, you are omnipotent, you are glorious, you are full of steadfast love and kindness, you are good, God. Just to praise him. And again, the Bible says that he inhabits the praise of his people. And in praising him, you are drawing near to him, and he's drawing near to you. So here's how you can put this into practice. If you are in a place where you are needing, wanting more joy in your life, here's how you can put this into practice. This week, I want you to go on a date with God. I want you to put it on your, go on a date with God, put it on your calendar, have a date with God. And that is set aside some time this week to be with him and in prayer, just praise him. Just however much you praise him when you pray, just extend that. Just have an extended time of adoring him, loving on him, praising him, blessing him. And that's basically simply about telling him how wonderful he is. Make a date. Praise him. Final thing to do this week. As you read the word, as you read your Bible, notice every time in your Bible, whatever you're reading, wherever you're reading in the scriptures, notice what it says about God. Right, so if you're reading something like Psalm 18, it'll say God is your fortress. Well, then say that back to him. God, I just read in this book that you are my fortress. Like, declare it before him. And then throughout the day, throughout the week, just meditate on that. You don't have to say it. You can say it if you want to, but just keep thinking about who God is. Just keep praising him. Just meditate on what the Bible says about who God is for you. And I'm telling you, that will bring you into the presence of God and into the joy of the Lord. This is what David means when he says in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. That is, even in the midst of his trying circumstances, he's constantly thinking about who God is. Yes, God, Saul is trying to kill me, but you are great and wonderful and holy. Yes, God, I've got this crazy guy doing awful things in my life. I could just moan and complain and whine about it, but you are God. You are wonderful. You are great. You are glorious. That's what David means there. So spend some time doing that. David says, oh, you'll enter this joy, the presence of the Lord. And know, just know this, that as you purpose in your mind to do these very things, before you do them, and even as you start to do them, know that the enemy of your soul is going to do everything he can to distract you, to take you away from your date with God. You just got to know that. Excuses are going to come up. You're going to maybe feel silly about doing it. Just know that the enemy is going to work really hard to keep you from doing this. And you've got to have the attitude of the woman with an issue of blood. And there's a crowd around Jesus. And she was just determined, I have to touch the hem of his garment. And she just pressed through the crowd in order to touch him and to be healed by him. And you've just got to press into these things. For in his presence, there is fullness of joy. May your date with God fill you with joy in his presence. And may your date with God make you want to say, I will sit and drink bad coffee and awful pie in a place, just to be with you, God. Just to be with you, God.